Well, we're about as clear what's happening in North Africa as we are here in the United States on this Monday morning. Good morning, everyone. Your agenda is going to be set today by Charlie Herman, the economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. This week's going to be all about what, Charlie?
Remember unemployment? Remember jobs?
That's great.
I remember that.
That's good. And Marcus Mabry, editor-at-large now of the International Herald Tribune, the international edition of our partner, The New York Times, from his new digs at Bush House in London. Marcus, good morning.
Good morning.
Marcus, this week is going to be all about what?
Contagion.
Contagion. All right. Let's put that directly to Charlie. Contagion, Middle East news. The markets have absorbed volatility for weeks now. What's that going to be this coming week, do you think?
You know, I think we're going to continue to see this up and down in the markets. I mean, last week, actually, we saw the Dow rebound pretty dramatically, over 360 points. You know, it's up for the year. It's down very slightly for the month. And I sort of think that the market seem to be taking a lot of this in. You know, but there's a lot of things that are out there. Like you just mentioned, there's Libya. There's what's going on in Yemen and Bahrain. There's oil prices.
$104 a barrel this morning.
And people talk about, oh, that's a relief. It's down slightly. But, you know, it keeps sort of ticking up. That's the general trend. You look in Europe and in Portugal with its debt crisis. Could that be the next Greece, Ireland situation? You look at Japan, you look at what's happening here in the U.S. I mean, there's just a lot of things out there that can have people really nervous, sort of their finger on the sell button. So that's what we have to watch for.
So the variables last week are still the variables
still
this week. All right, so let's put it to Marcus Mabry. Contagion, I suspect you mean Tripoli becomes Damascus?
You know, that's exactly the concern. If you thought what the administration is going through now, and you just had a great discussion about it, Libya is actually just the midterm exam. The final question, the final exam question would be Syria and Jordan. Those would be, you know, these are countries that are much more directly involved with Israel. Syria is an autocracy with links that if you actually got rid of the autocrat, it might be a government that we would actually fear much more, because it's the connection with Hezbollah and other terrorist organizations. Jordan is a friendly empire kingdom and one of the closer to us and to Israel. That without that king there, we'd have a Palestinian, largely majority Palestinian state with kind of, it's unclear who would be in control of it. So this, Libya was a tough enough question. Let's not forget, as the administration tries to step back from it, that they didn't want, you know, the idea of this no-fly zone. It was really our allies that really pushed us to there. Now, we went guns blazing as always, as the U.S. usually does, but you know the minefields there politically for us, as you guys have laid out, are tremendous, and that is nothing compared to what we'd face in Syria or Jordan.
Well, then what's the message tonight for President Obama, who speaks to the nation, presumably to explain the policy in Libya? This stepping back that's taken place over the weekend delivers a message, hey, we don't really think this is terribly important in Libya, or that we actually believe that NATO should be doing this kind of thing.
We believe that the United States must always lead, but must always lead in concert with its friends and allies. We are not the world's policeman, but we are its leader. And with our friends and allies, we are willing to fight injustices. Now, that's not terribly fulfilling. The president will get massive criticism on both sides of this question. Those on the left will say, well, you know, if we're really about protecting people, then we should stay and lead and lead through actually leading the military campaign, not letting NATO take the four. But those on the other side will say, well, you know what? It's not the U.S.'s job to protect innocent civilians from a madman. If it were, we'd be all over the world and we'd be in North Korea right now.
Three wars is too many, Charlie.
Well, I just want to jump in there. I think what Marcus is outlining is that the Congress is going to get very focused on what's happening in Libya, what are we doing overseas, and there's still a lot of things that Congress needs to deal with and the president needs to deal with domestically that I think they haven't really been dealing with.
That's agenda on hold because of Libya.
Because they're going to be talking about a lot about Libya and how do we get involved and what decisions were made. And, oh, by the way, don't forget, we have to fund the budget. Oh, by the way, we now have a bigger Department of Defense that we need to fund that has expanded its roles. And how much money do we put there? And we have to balance the budget. And, oh, by the way, forget about jobs. I mean, what happened to all the focus on creating jobs?
And that's a contagion I really mean. It's a contagion of fear, whether we're talking about the markets or whether we're talking about international relations. It's a contagion of fear of what's happening and what's next. Markets, of course, abhor uncertainty, and that's you can be much more uncertain than where we are right now, either in economic conditions, with kind of austerity, you know, de rigueur for the moment. Britain, we've seen, you know, great kind of civil unrest that is likely to increase as we see wages fall here, inflation start to really pick up here, all in part because the British government has decided, you know, we're going to cut spending. Well, you're going to have, you'd be cutting spending when people are actually doing worse. The U.S. has just had a taste of this so far. How the administration and the Congress actually walked that tightrope in the U.S. is going to be really interesting to watch.
Well, some commentators have actually said that the next shoe to drop on the Middle East crisis has nothing to do with other Middle East countries, but has to do with this growing economic uncertainty in the industrialized nations that's beginning to express itself politically. It seems to me that the hottest ticket in Washington this week, though, Charlie Herman, is going to be at the Supreme Court, where the arguments in the largest gender discrimination suit in history against Walmart will be argued.
This is really important, especially for individuals who want to bring discrimination lawsuits against companies, as well as for companies that are trying to limit their exposure to huge damage awards from these very large discrimination suits. What you have in this situation is Walmart is not actually – what's at issue before the Supreme Court is not whether or not Walmart had policies that discriminated against women. It's about whether or not you can actually bring together as a class up to 1.5, 1.6 million women who have all been discriminated against or faced possible discrimination by Walmart.
And with those kind of numbers, you've got statistical arguments that can be made where you can't make them with the corner deli or something
like
that.
You know, but a lot of class discrimination suits are brought together. You know, you bring together statistics, you bring together affidavits from individuals to try and prove the case. And if the Supreme Court were to rule and make it more difficult for people to join class discriminations or to create class discrimination suits against companies, it would be a lot harder for an individual, for example, in a company like Walmart to bring a persistent pattern of discrimination suit against a company if they, you know, that's one individual doing it.
And it would have interesting repercussions for giant companies, multinationals all over the world.
Exactly.
So it would be precedent-setting.
For that reason, it's hard to imagine this court actually siding, you know, with the plaintiffs here.
All right. Before we go, first of all, will the
big
president
prediction.
Mention unemployment in his speech tonight, Marcus Mabry?
Yes.
Charlie Herman?
I think he will, but it's not going to be he's probably going to try and talk about how we need to focus and these efforts are how we need to focus on the U.S. economy and how these efforts are to to strengthen democracy around the world.
All right. Well, of course he's going to say that. Here's the harder question, okay? And we're going to get the unemployment number at the end of the week. Will the president mention any country besides Libya in the discussion of the Middle East, Charlie?
Sure.
No. Marcus, what do you think? No.
No.
See, I thought Marcus would say no there. All right, there's your agenda. Midterm exam for the president tonight, and we look ahead to the unemployment number on Friday. Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. Charlie, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Marcus Mabry, watch The Contagion over there in London, editor-at-large of the International Herald Tribune, the international edition of our partner, The New York Times. Marcus, thanks so much.
Good being here.
There's your agenda.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.